Oh, hell, said Sonia.
Well, said Troy loudly, I'll set the pose. She stepped on the throne, which was the usual dais on wheels, and began to arrange a seat for the model. She threw a cerise cushion down, and then she got a long blue length of silk. One end of this she threw across the cushion and pinned. The other she drew round to one side, and then to the floor of the dais. Now, Sonia, she said, something like this. Troy knelt and then slid sideways into a twisted recumbent pose on the floor. The right hip was raised, the left took the weight of the pose. The torso was turned upwards from the waist so that both shoulders touched the boards. Sonia, noticing the twist, grimaced disagreeably and slid out of the white kimono. She was a most beautiful little creature, long-legged, delicately formed and sharp-breasted. Her black hair was drawn tightly back from the suave forehead. The bony structure of her face suggested a Slavonic mask. "You little devil, you've been sunbathing," said Troy. "Look at those patches." "Well, I don't like nudism at Bournemouth," said Sonia. The drape was pressed down by her shoulders and broke into uneven folds about the body. "That's your pose, Malmsley," said Troy. She glanced at her watch. "You can hold that for 40 minutes, Sonia."
"It's a terrible pose, Miss Troy," grumbled Sonia. "All twisted like this."
"Nonsense," said Troy briskly. The class began to settle itself. It was to Garcia that Troy went after she had set the pose. The others shifted their easels about, skirmishing for positions. She looked at his sketch in clay of comedy and tragedy. He had stood it on a high stool in the south window. It was modelled on a little wooden platform with four wheels, a substitute he had made for the usual turntable. "Why did you come and plant yourself here, may I ask?" "Thought you wouldn't mind." His voice was muffled and faintly cockney. "I'll be clearing out in a fortnight. I wanted somewhere to work." "So you said in your extraordinary note. Now attend to me, Garcia." Troy lowered her voice. "While you're here, you've got to behave yourself. I won't have any bogus bohemianism or free love or mere promiscuity at Tatler's End. It shocks the servants and it's messy. All right?"
"Okay," said Garcia with a grin.
"The pose has altered," said Catty Bostock.
"Yeah, that's right," said Wat Hatchet. The others looked coldly at him. His Sydney accent was so broad as to be almost comic. Troy went to Catty's easel and looked from the drawing to the model. Then she went up to the throne and shoved Sonia's right shoulder down. "Keep it on the floor."
"Oh, it's a swine of a pose, Miss Troy."
Troy sighed. She took a stick of chalk from her overall pocket and ran it round the model wherever she touched the throne. "Now you can get up." Sonia sat up with an ostentatious show of discomfort, reached out her hand for the kimono and shrugged herself into it. Troy pulled the drape-out taut from the cushion to the floor.
"It'll have to go down each time with the figure," she told the class.
"As it does in a little romance," drawled Malmsley.
"Yes, it's quite feasible," agreed Valmy Seacliff. "We could try it. There's that Chinese knife in the lumber room. May we get it, Miss Troy?"
"If you like," said Troy. Pilgrim, Omerin, Hatchet, and Valmet Seacliff began a discussion about the possibility of using the knife in the manner suggested by Malmsley's illustration. Phyllida Lee joined in.
"Where would the knife enter the body?"
asked Seacliff.
"Just here," said Pilgrim, putting his hand on her back and keeping it there. "Behind your heart, Valmet."
She turned her head and looked at him through half-closed eyes.
"Can you feel it beating?" asked Seacliff softly.
"If I move my hand here..."
"Oh, come off it," said the model violently. She walked over to Garcia. "I don't believe you could kill anybody like that, do you, Garcia?"
Garcia grunted unintelligibly. He too was staring at Valmet Seacliff.
"How would you know where to put the dagger?" demanded Catty Bostock suddenly. She drew a streak of background colour across her canvas.
"Can't we try it out?" asked Hatchet.
"If you like," said Troy.
"Mark the throne before you move it."
Basil Pilgrim chalked the position of the throne on the floor, and then he and Omerin tipped it up. By following the chalked-out line on the throne, they could see the spot where the heart would come, and, after a little experiment, found the plot of this spot on the underneath surface of the throne.